welcome. It's spring training time, and those of you that have been around for a little bit know it's time for me to hit the books, to hit the studies, and to launch the 40-man roster project that I lovingly call 40 in 30. We are inside of 30 days until opening day, and the work has begun at going one by one and looking at every single member of the Blue Jays 40-man roster ahead of opening day. The good news for you this time, public listener, is you're getting access to more episodes than last year. If you're looking for the first, geez, 7 profiles already, those are findable at the $9 tier, patreon.com/lessthanjays. In the last 2 days, have talked Leo Jimenez, Ernie Clement, Nathan Lucas, Yosver Zulueta, Wes Parsons, Brendan Little, and Hagen Danner. All those done in the last 48 hours alone. But this year, doing things a little bit differently versus just me reading off scouting reports and stats. I have opened up the Rolodex, opened up the guest book, opened up, for those of you Gen Z, the Contacts app on my phone, and grabbed some great guest stars to take me through some individual players. And that process begins today, and you're going to get a chance to hear it. I am talking with one of my favorite people in all of baseball, a certified ball knower, a guy that has had a ton of success recently and deserves it. It's Avery Chenier from Gate 14. You probably know Gate 14 from being the goats at this shit, being the number one podcast in Canada about baseball throughout most of the winter. We're talking Adam Macko. Incredible. What are the odds that Adam Macko would go off the board this early in terms of guest picks? That's who Avery wanted to talk about. With no further ado, I now introduce just one of my favorite people. Really gotten to know this guy over the last, I would say, 6 months strongly, and just blown away every time this guy talks baseball. Just truly amazed. You know him from the Gate 14 podcast. You know him from Owner's Box, doing great content on there. You can see it on Instagram and TikTok, I assume. Yeah, I assume you guys are on TikTok too.
Yeah, we do it all.
Of course. Twitch live as well during the day. Those have been tons of fun. It's Avery Chenier. Thank you so much for joining me, man.
Zoobs, it is a pleasure to be here. And I was very happy that I got Adam Macko as my guy that could go into, because I needed to learn more myself. So it was more of a challenge to me. And when your response was, of course, when I said I wanted Adam Macko, I knew it was the right guy to choose.
I'm thrilled. I literally, if you were to give it to me and say nobody says no to anything, which luckily nobody has, but I get to pencil in who did what, this is the kind of person that I would have you talk about, because couldn't be more blind to me. I can run through scouting reports and I can look at stats, and I pulled up a game he pitched in the back half of last year. No idea what I'm looking at. Like, he's striking out high A baseball players. It's like, couldn't mean a less, but in a really interesting spot. So we're going to learn about him. As you said, Adam Macko, lefty, 23 years old. It's his first year on the 40-man. He just got into the 40-man before the Rule 5 draft. I didn't realize that.
Yep. Good for him. He made it.
Sort of a weird... So this is a kind of guy, like the guy that was drafted as a teenager and is now... It's like the big story on Macko from diving into all this stuff was like, it was injured every year since you got drafted with the Mariners, like injured or severely limited. And then all of a sudden it's like, surprise, Rule 5 time is up. Were you surprised? I guess I was a little surprised he got protected because he had just pitched so little. Or is it just were you surprised by that?
No, it was the one that I wasn't really surprised at because of the unknown parts of him. The upside is there enough. The strikeouts per nine are there enough. The fastball's mid nines from a guy who's kind of small, left-handed arm. I wasn't really surprised at all. It was, to me, it was a no-brainer to me.
It's one of those ones. The Rule 5 is weird, though, right? Because I sort of think, is like, is there a team that's committing to, we are going to have Adam Macko on our team all year long? I know what you mean, though. It is important to start.
Yeah, I never think of it from protect them from other teams. It's more a projectability for the current team. Because he's played baseball his whole life, but being like baseball in North America, that's not Europe, has to be so different in who he's learning from as well. So he's not a guy who's new to pitching, but to me, he feels fresh to it still.
So you mentioned, and it's a great time to bring it up, great segue opportunity, European style. I had to read this 4 times to believe what I was even seeing. Born in Slovakia and then moved to Ireland when he was 12 because that was more baseball, I guess more baseball than Slovakia. And it's like
that was the thing that totally threw me off because we see was it Czechs who was in the World Baseball Classic, not Slovakia, right? That's the one that messed me up. I thought that he was going to a country away from a country that was more baseball savvy than Ireland was.
Very strange. It makes just enough sense to be like weirdly translated. It's like Slovakia to more baseball. You went to Ireland and then at 14 went to Alberta, which is also, again, it's like you are coming over to North America to play baseball, but like, I'm sure if they did, you know, I'm sure they do rankings of all 50 states prospect wise. And then you add in the Canadian provinces, Alberta would be pretty low on the list of like places you would farm for MLB talent at 14.
Yeah, MLB.
Anyway, well, it works.
So they do the like Vauxhall's there, Prairie Baseball Academy's there as well. So based on where you are, it's like Ontario, BC, Alberta are going to be your three from Canada that are the big ones. And they do through school, like Prairie Baseball Academy and Vauxhall and Okotoks, I believe. So I think they almost have a better system than Ontario when it comes to getting those guys in a area and having them baseball kind of all year round.
Well, it works because the path like shows what I know, that's for sure. Cause it works. 4 years later, he's drafted by a major league team and he's signed up to play with the Seattle Mariners. And that's where he comes into our lives in the Teoscar trade. Completely forgot about this. Hernandez for Swanson and Macko, like the moment the World Series ended. Like, we cannot wait to trade Teoscar for Swanson and Macko. I'd forgotten.
How do you feel about having Canadian guys in the Jays system?
I mean, Canadian guy is, we're like, this is as close to not having a Canadian guy as a Canadian guy gets.
For sure.
But
listen, well, don't they call Arelvis Canadian too?
I guess if Vladdy is Canadian, he's as Canadian as, you know, any of the other guys. I mean, he comes here and Canada helped him make the major leagues. That's undoubtable. I'm fine with it. This sort of doesn't seem like we're mapling up a guy with no shot here, but I could be wrong about that.
Fair enough.
Anyway, as we said, sort of been injured his whole way through with Seattle. Look at his last year. You mentioned the stuff, mid-90s fastball, loopy curveball that basically every scouting report brings up. And then I watched a little bit and I was like, that is a pretty loopy curveball slider. And he added a changeup. It was 4.81 at high A last year. But I've been told, and maybe you can agree that maybe you can prove this, you're not supposed to care about minor league ERA. That's true.
That makes sense. The defense has to be horrible in a lot of places because. But he was still an ex-FIP of 4.13 and a FIP of 3.97. Batting average of balls in play wasn't crazy high either. If you look at the year before, I would say he was unluckier because his BABIP was 367 in 22 and then 327 in 23. So that doesn't go off the radar like, oh, wow, he was super unlucky. Left on base percentage, 63%. So I think that's kind of where the ERA hurt him more than batting average and balls in play thing.
Strikeouts all over the place, but also walk. I mean, typical guy who is a minor league pitcher, basically, like the very reasonable profile. 106 strikeouts, 86 innings, as a career high, 86 innings, 20 starts. Was the best run of health he'd had in quite some time. I get pulled a quote here that he ended the season especially strong. 3.6 in 22 in a third inning in August and 35 strikeouts at 10 walks. I do wonder a little bit, like if I'm rose colored glasses looking at that entire year and even looking at his entire development profile to now, I can sort of spin zone last year as being like the first half of the year, he is just trying to make sure that he is healthy enough to get to a back half of the year and then looks really comfortable and sort of like assure of himself down the stretch. And is like, wait a minute, I'm too good to be at high A. That's how I read that generously.
Second straight year of high A ball too. I haven't looked at the baseball reference to know where he matches up age wise, but I still think he's probably younger, close to the normal age of that league. So I think again, second half of it, confidence, your second year in high A. If you can't advance through that and you need your confidence, we're going to be set back and not looking forward to a spring training where you really need to make some moves there.
Have you, your guy, that the answer to me, this would obviously be a no, but there's a shot. Have you watched a lot of any Adam Macko pitching? I'm sure you maybe when he got trapped or pulled over in the trade, you look at something.
Yeah, I looked at a bunch of his stuff recently too. It was more thing I've never seen him pitch live. I'm not going to be an expert in Adam Macko, but you see his mechanics there. I want to learn about these people as well with the people when we're talking about doing this type of thing. But the one thing that's been the problem is the walks the whole time, right? But that's we're on to third straight year where the walks have gone down. And the way he starts his motion with the hands kind of set at his chest, I think is like getting him off for some reason, because it looks like a steady motion and that should be a lot of consistency. But at some point he's losing it to throw that many, like walk that many guys. So maybe a hands motion is the thing that untaps him, because he has no problem with velo. The curveball is very, very good, but the walks has always been the thing. And that's, again, he's going to be 23, right? So it's for young players who don't have a ton of control. The projectabilities of him being a front end starter are gone to me. There's no chance of that, I don't think. So I don't know why we don't. I guess you still need people to throw innings in high A, but it seems like an easy move to the bullpen for the guy.
Yeah. So the assumption for this year, you assume, is to double A, to sort of slot in there. But everywhere you read about this guy, it's like very similar to what you just said, where it's like back end, maybe he sneaks into back end of the rotation because, you know, left-handed guy who throws junk, it's possible, right? It's sort of like, it's not impossible. These things happen. It happens repeatedly throughout the course of the game. But like weapon, like a guy that you're projecting to lead the way, almost certainly not. This is where I get a little, I don't want to say hesitant, but where it gets hard for me is in this zone, where it's like, I know there is value in that, but I get a little, aw, when you're like, okay, so you're projecting a guy to be, I think the one of the quotes was like, could be a nasty long reliever. And I was like, well, that's not really.
There's no nasty long relievers, is there?
It's not really a thing, right? It's like, if you're projecting a guy, it's like, the projection is that he could hang on to a major league role. It always gets me, I'm always like, it sort of becomes a demarcation line. There's guys, he's seventh in the Jays system in a lot of places. Yeah. BP has him seventh. Fangrass has him seventh. So it's like, sometimes these lists, you look at them and you're like, dang, we're already talking about this guy being moved to long reliever. And I agree with you in terms of the profile. It's like fastball, curveball, but no control. It's like, that's a lefty reliever. It sort of is. It's just what it is over and over again, which there, you know, there's value in being a lefty reliever, but I get a little bummed that the sort of the depth down there runs out so quick.
That's why we have to have 40-year-old starters every year, because they can't develop pitching to do anything, right? And this is like the perfect project. You try and take a guy on at 21, 22. Let's see how well you can develop him. And the strides haven't been that different as to what we've seen when he was with Seattle. So not that I'm worried about his development. He's still so young. And again, he's not a huge body too. He's a 6-foot guy. And a 6-foot guy who consistently has shoulder injuries. How are you? In what world? This guy's going to combust. Like, he's going to go up in flames if he has to throw 200 innings in a season. He's not being built up to it at all, but I can't see that in the near future. But I told you this. I went back to his high school roommate at Vauxhall, and I wanted to know a little bit about him, how he is as a person. He said, one of the nicest guys you'll ever meet. And he threw 78 miles an hour in 10th grade. And wow. he just willed himself to throw 87 to 90 in a year and a half, just because he was so bad when he was in the 10th grade. So there's something to be said about him as a hard worker. So we can bet on the person, but the profile is concerning at this point.
Yeah. Great, great scouting reports. I would hope this, you sort of hope that the players who make it are people that people like and who work hard. Sort of like, I hope that's the case as often as possible, in terms of building a group of guys. Speaking of the profile, the tools, just quickly, I don't know how much stock you put into this. I had the Fangraphs tools. They go 55 fastball, 55 slider, 60 curveball, 55 of 60 changeup and 40-45 command for a 45 FV, which is, again, you like to believe that they can just find these, find a 45 FV guy off the street. They seem to do that. They do the one thing they do very consistently is collect 45 FV guys.
Yeah, you can get this in the rule five all the time if you really try hard enough.
Well, hypothetically, you could have got this exact thing in the rule five this year if they had not decided to protect him. Yeah, BP has him seventh. Fangraphs has him seventh, as I said. Your boy Scotty Mac at TSN has them 11th. And yeah, that seems to be about the same. About the same review from MLB.com. They had 55 fastball, 55 curve, a little lower on the curve, 50 slider, 40 changeup, 40 control, overall 40. A little bit
my
more.
My favorite thing, Zoob. Sorry, don't want to cut you off there.
No, that's from last year.
The Fangraphs write up where they say he has a loopy, like the cartoonishly slow curveball is my favorite way to describe a pitch that I've seen in a long time. But kind of loopy offering Bugs Bunny would get three whiffs on before the ball reached the catcher. That is such a good write up when you talk about left-handed pitching curveball.
In the bag, absolutely. And then, even so, it features so much depth that while it's relatively easy to identify out of the hand, the shape prevents hitters from connecting with it. I do wonder about that. I do wonder about that sometimes. But the nobody he faces right now can hit his curveball sort of thing. It's like, I bet somebody eventually is able to do it.
Usually when you throw a loopy curveball like that, it's more of a steel strikes pitch than swing and miss. And it's the slider out of the hand that looks like the fastball that gets a lot of the swing and the miss. So it'll be interesting to see as he keeps on moving how he uses the pitches and what the pitch usage gets to.
Projections sort of useless. Obviously, there's no real steamer has him coming up for one inning in a disaster world and ERA of 5. So that good work from steamer. Zips, if there was a world that he pitched, they say five ERA. So sort of useless for a guy like this as he's on his first go around. Discourse. I don't believe there is any discourse around Adam Macko. I don't think anybody feels anything about Adam Macko, frankly. We might be leading the way right now.
We might be the first people to talk about him this offseason.
Gotta be. That has to be true. Because everyone's on Bowden Francis's ass right now.
He's not knocking on the door of the big leagues that soon.
Yeah, so that's sort of always what I think. Are they saying the projectability bet? So they're betting by 27. They know or not that he's which is, I mean, they probably almost certainly will. Outlook this year likely to be bumped. Maybe there's a chance, very little chance he would be knocked off the 40 man by a move, and I can't imagine that happening.
There'd be no point for that to happen before they play games this year. It would have been stupid to protect him then, I think.
Yeah. And I can't imagine during the year he's a candidate to be, because they're gonna, as always, every team, they'll have the churn, I think, on 38, maybe 39 and 40 will almost certainly be churn things, and hopefully you catch a fish in those, a reliever or a middle infielder that you sort of can use. But I don't think Macko is, I agree, not really at risk of being off. So I think comfortably we can say 2024 is probably him in Double A. I would almost certainly guess, right? Maybe he gets the hot hand because he's on the 40 man and gets bumped up to Triple A if he's like absolutely unhittable. They've had that quick path in the past with some guys that are once they're on the 40 man, it's like, hey, if you can pitch, you can pitch. Let's jump you up a little bit. But I would say probably most of the season in Double A if I had to put money on it. Would you?
I'd be the exact same thing. You see, if he can compete at Double A, they claim that the better hitters are there, right? The younger hitters are in Double A against the guys who are older coming back from Triple A. So it'll be interesting to see how he does. And that might be the bump up the next year. Hey, you don't need that much Triple A time. I would be shocked if that happens that way, but even still.
Do you have a comp? Can you force a comp on Macko? Somebody that reminds you?
Yeah, okay. I came up with one. I put it in the group chat before. It is It is Tim Collins in Mackenzie Gore's body.
Incredible. Incredible. Incredible.
So comp. Like Tim Collins was a serviceable reliever for a couple of years in Kansas City.
Yes. And had the same sort of, like, he can throw a fastball fast enough to make the major leagues, which is like part of the, I like that. Wow. Bigger picture on Macko. No, you can expand on your comp, please.
I just think the delivery is very similar to Gore. That's why he gets the Mackenzie Gore and Tim Collins comp combined.
I had watching him, and I listen. I'm not nearly the eye. Just the movement, it made it look like it was pretty easy for him. I was sort of surprised he had a lot of injury delivery. I was like, that seems pretty like he's not, you know, tear his ass off his body trying to pitch that way.
You know, he does have some easy juice, and that's the. I wanted to almost say bad things when I saw what I saw stats wise, and then I watch him pitch, and it seems like almost two different things. Because I'm ready to throw him out, but after you watch him and actually see, some of the swings are hilariously bad on his offerings, and there's something to be said for that.
Where are you? We brought at the end big picture on Adam Macko. Are you somebody that did you pick him because you thought there was something? Are you looking to be early on the Adam Macko is going to be a guy train here?
I was trying to find something, even if I wanted to be, he's a bum. I just wanted to have a take on someone who people will care about at some point and they're not ready to be yet. I think best case scenario, he's Tim Mayza for this team, and that's not that good of a thing, right?
It's not nothing. I'm a old soul sometimes. It's like just having a left-handed reliever makes me happy sometimes. Just having the extra one. That's why I've been so happy with Henny. I was like so happy they went and got Henny. I was like, just get a second left-handed guy for me to see. And maybe, as you say, maybe the torch gets passed down from Mayza to Macko of like a lefty that just has to be on the roster because we need one.
Yeah,
for the next 7 years.
I mean, it would be interesting to see if they change pitch shape stuff with him. I don't have enough of the minor league data to know, but it would be nice to have a report on him out of spring sometime.
Yeah, I'm sure it will come. I mean, we're recording this. We haven't even played a game yet, but I'm sure it will come. I mean, you're going to go down there, hopefully, if everything gets sorted out.
Hopefully.
You can be the guy who's got the exclusive Adam Macko bullpen footage.
Yeah, we can get some Rapsodo data and take it behind the scenes.
Well, you got anything else on Adam Macko? You have that sweet stuff from his roommate. Anything else you want to get out here?
No, I'm as he is kind of a Canadian, we'll say, mm-hmm. kind of a Canadian. I hope the best for him. I don't have big projections for Adam Macko in the future, but he's on the 40 man, so we care about him.
That's the entire point of this entire series, perfectly encapsulated. He's on the 40 man, so we care about him. I just did all the infielders that I basically have outside of realistically being on the team and maybe being the first ones cut if there's a move, and all the pitchers that I thought sort of like weren't going to be looked at seriously this year. And now Adam Macko sort of perfectly caps off the first week. Hopefully, when this goes out, Avery, you've figured out a way to get there. But man, thank you for taking time in February to talk a little ball talk, Adam Macko. I really appreciate it.
Love ball talk. Thank you, Zoobs.
And of course, you know where to find Avery at Avery Chenier on Twitter or Gate14Pod. I mean, you already know. What am I doing plugging them? It's absolutely ridiculous. Thank you so much. And stick around. I think you're going to want to come back for the rest of the series. Some great stuff. We are diving into the active roster next week. Lots of guests, lots of players to get to. Until then, thank you so much for being a part of Less Than Jake.